You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 82nd episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at ItalianoCalcio. Check the link in my Twitter bio for all the links that you need to support and listen to my podcast. So we will start off this 82nd episode of the podcast by talking about the Romelu Lukaku transfer saga. There's very few stories that actually shock me and get me to kind of say, wow. And when I heard about this Lukaku transfer saga, it literally got me to say wow and kind of took me a moment to process everything. If you're not too familiar with what's been going on, it seemed like everybody had the same foregone conclusion that Lukaku wanted to return to Inter. Inter has been working all summer so far to try to find a deal with Chelsea to sign Lukaku, not on a loan, but finally on a permanent transfer, something that would appease all parties. And it got to the point where Inter had reached an agreement with Chelsea for around 40 million euro. They were going to use, you know, essentially a good chunk of the money that they got for selling Onana to Manchester United to help purchase Lukaku outright. Inter tried contacting Lukaku to get him to kind of sign off on returning to the club, but they couldn't get in contact with Lukaku. It seemed like he was not responding to any of the Inter phone calls. His Inter teammates reached out to him, some of them, at least that's what's being reported by the Italian media, and they got no response. And then news came out that Lukaku has actually been talking with Juventus and negotiating personal terms on a contract with the Bianconeri. And it also seems that Juventus have also reached an agreement with Chelsea for around that same 40 million euro to sign Lukaku. However, they need to sell Vlahovic or someone first to help fund that. We'll kind of get to that in a little bit. And there's even, you know, some reports that say Lukaku started talking with Juventus during the Champions League final, leading up to that Champions League final, which is kind of stunning. You would think his full focus would be on that game and on being fully committed to that game and not necessarily worrying about his future, especially his future away from Inter, which no one kind of expected, especially talking with Juventus. So again, it's just absolutely stunning. And if you recall in an interview a couple of years back, Lukaku said he would never play for Milan. He would never play for Juventus. The only team he would ever want to play for is Inter. The only shirt in Italy he would ever want to play for is Inter. That he would never want to play for another Italian club. Yet here there are these reports that he's been talking with Juventus and seems to be wanting to go there. It's kind of stunning. Now, he hasn't obviously signed with Juventus. Like, nothing from that is official. We just know, according to reports, that he's talking to Juve. Juve have a deal in place with Chelsea as long as they could sell Vlahovic prior to, in order to help fund the purchase of Lukaku. And I think a lot of us, or I know I am, wondering why this is happening. Like, what could have caused Lukaku to all of a sudden not want to play for Inter, not want to return to Inter, which was seemingly a foregone conclusion, and especially why would he want to be talking with Juventus? There's, you know, also some reports out of the Italian media, mainly Gazzetta dello Sport, that say Lukaku felt a bit disrespected this season at Inter, that he didn't get to start in the Champions League final, that Inzaghi decided to start Dzeko in attack with Lautaro Martinez rather than him. Also felt that, like, in a lot of the big moments this season, that Lukaku was, you know, put on the bench and Dzeko was chosen over him. I believe, if I looked at it correctly, if I remember, I don't think Lukaku started any games in the Champions League for Inter this season. All his appearances were off the bench. So he just kind of felt like he was always the second option behind Dzeko. And now we know Dzeko has left and is going to be playing in Turkey this upcoming season. So for all, you know, intensive purposes, it seems like if Lukaku decided to come back to Inter, he would be the guy in attack with Lautaro Martinez. Now we know they signed Marcus Thuram and he could be used in a couple of different options. He could be used up front. He could kind of play on the wing and in some different roles. But you would assume that Lukaku would have been the first choice along with Lautaro Martinez in attack. So any, you know, thing he was unhappy about last season being that second option behind Dzeko, you would assume would kind of be a thing of the past and that now he would be that top choice with Lautaro Martinez. It's interesting that if that is the truth, if that is the reason why, and I'll be honest with you, I can't even think of another reason why. So you would assume that story has some validity and definitely could be the driving force behind Lukaku's decision. Kind of seems like a weak decision. I know all these players want to feel important, want to feel like they are, you know, the center of attention, that they are the best player, that they are the top choice. They want to feel that love. But, you know, to be honest with you, Lukaku has gotten plenty of love from Inter, from the organization, from the fans. The fans absolutely love Lukaku. They've showed him nothing but love and respect from the first moment he signed with Inter on loan. And then obviously it was he who wanted to go back to Chelsea. And he kind of, you know, anchored that move and pushed for that move to leave Inter. And I'm sure it broke Inter's, you know, the hearts of Inter fans. And then he came back to Inter because he wanted to. He realized he made a mistake. And the Inter fans embraced him and welcomed them back into their family. And now he has the opportunity to return to them and not just return to them on loan, but actually on a permanent move, which is something he's wanted. And he's kind of like spitting in the face of that again. And you just wonder if in time he will regret this move again, like he did when he regretted returning to Chelsea and leaving Inter. So, it's an interesting situation. And look, you know, if he chose Juventus over Inter, again, it would be remarkable for several reasons. I mentioned how the Inter fan base absolutely love Lukaku. He loves his teammates. His teammates love him. He and Lautaro Martinez seem to have a really good relationship, you know, off the field, but even on the field, they are a very dynamic tandem and really complement each other well. He would also be giving up playing in the Champions League. Inter are obviously in the Champions League. Juventus, as we know, are not. I know that may only be a one-season thing. Perhaps Juventus, I don't think anyone would be totally shocked if Juve finished in the top four this upcoming season, but he's given up playing in the Champions League if he chose Juve over Inter. And, you know, if you recall, again, this is not indicative of all of Juventus's fans. It's a very, you know, select small amount. And I don't even know if I would call them fans, but if you remember last season, some of those Juventus fans, you know, racially abused and mocked Lukaku. And that was a big story, those dumb Juventus fans doing that. And there was a whole fallout and Lukaku got suspended for his, you know, reaction and stuff like that. And luckily the Italian Federation overturned that suspension of Lukaku, rightfully so. But it would kind of be, I don't know, a little weird if he decided to join Juventus after some of their fans mocked him racially. Now, again, that is such a small amount of the Juventus fans, and it does not represent the total Juventus fan base. I don't want anyone to think that it does. But again, it seems a little weird, especially when Inter fought so hard and stood up so much for Lukaku during that. Again, to just kind of turn his back on Inter and the organization is pretty stunning, if you ask me. And now some more fallout, you know, since this news story has broken, is the Inter fan base, a large contingent of the Inter fan base, is absolutely outraged with Lukaku for deciding to talk with Juventus and conceivably choose Juventus over coming back to Inter. And you know, they want nothing to do with Lukaku now. And I don't see any way that Lukaku could kind of like have a change of heart and decide to come back to Inter unless somehow he could absolutely spin this in a way that all of this was just totally fake and none of this was true somehow. I don't know how he could convince the Inter fans, but they're outraged by him. And there's, you know, a segment of the Juventus fan base that also do not want Lukaku, that they don't want him, you know what he meant to Inter. You know, he was a significant player for Inter over the past couple seasons, so they don't want anything to do with him. Now, for the most part, not always the case, but, you know, as always, time heals and you know, when a player joins your team, you know, you kind of eventually forget about their past, what club they played for, if they played for a rival, what they might have said about your club. If they're productive, in Lukaku's case, if he's scoring goals, if he's helping Juventus win games, win trophies, get back on top, you know, I'm sure the overwhelming majority of Juventus fans would forget about that. But there's always going to be that segment of fans that don't want him because he did play for Inter, what he might have said about Juventus in the past. But look, we've seen players in this sport flip teams of rivals so many times, such significant players, high profile players. Think about Ronaldo, played for Barcelona, obviously went on to join Real Madrid. He spent the season, a couple seasons with Inter. He ended up having a season playing with Milan. Think of like Luis Figo, one of the more notable transfer saga stories of, you know, in history, perhaps. Obviously a legend at Barcelona, meant so much to that club, so beloved by the Barcelona fans. He loved Barcelona. And then, you know, when Florentino Perez became Real Madrid president, he seduced Luis Figo to come play for, you know, their bitter rivals and join him at Real Madrid. So we've seen it happen before. And guess what? You know, the Real Madrid fans, at least the overwhelming majority of them, got over the fact that Luis Figo played for Barcelona, what he said about Real Madrid. So if Lukaku ended up joining Juventus, I do think the majority of the Juventus fans would embrace Lukaku as long as he performs. Because if Lukaku struggles, if he joins Juve, they will be relentless on him. That's always the risk, right? If you don't perform, if you underperform after coming from a big rival, the fan base will absolutely let you have it. But, you know, it's interesting on a kind of a funny note that the Inter fan base And, you know, again, a large contingent of the Juventus fan base seem to finally be united on something, right? They could agree on something that they both, you know, kind of dislike Lukaku at this point and don't want Lukaku on their team. So it's kind of funny how they've kind of been united in this sentiment. I mentioned how in order for Juventus to sign Lukaku, they need to sell Dusan Vlahovic. And a lot of, you know, Juventus fans have kind of been shaking their head. Why would the club sell a 23-year-old striker in Vlahovic in order to bring in a 30-year-old striker in Lukaku? Well, obviously money is a big reason, right? We know Juventus needs to balance their books. They're considering selling Vlahovic. They're considering selling Federico Chiesa. They would potentially sell Bremer. They would sell Paul Pogba. All those players potentially for the right price in order to help them balance the books. It doesn't necessarily mean they want to sell these players, but in order to help balance their books, they're obviously in a bit of a financial difficult situation. They may need to sell them. And Vlahovic is one of the most appealing players, one of the more promising players, and a player that would bring in a good fee. They would like to sell him for at least 70 million euro. And as of now, it seems like the only team that has some concrete interest in signing Vlahovic potentially is PSG. And we know PSG have the deep pockets to, you know, meet Juventus's demands of what their price is. Again, if you could sell Vlahovic for 70 million plus to PSG potentially, and then bring in Lukaku for 40 million, you're talking about a team that needs to balance their books, that needs to really offset some debt. You know, you have, sometimes this is a sacrifice you may have to make, selling a 23-year-old striker and bringing in a 30-year-old striker. Now, from a, you know, X's and O's standpoint, it seems like Max Allegri wants to bring in Lukaku. This isn't the first time he's wanted to bring Lukaku to Juventus. He seems to like him. He seems to feel like he would be a better fit in his system, what he wants from his striker, what he wants from his team, compared to Vlahovic. Now, we've seen Vlahovic play for Juventus in about a season and a half, and it just hasn't necessarily clicked. He hasn't been that player that, you know, a lot of us expected him to be when he signed from Fiorentina, when he was really just one of the better prolific goal scorers in Serie A for a couple seasons with them. It just hasn't clicked at Juve, and there's several reasons or several aspects that you could point why it hasn't worked. But, you know, whether it, you, a lot of people like to blame it on Allegri, obviously, that his system is very perhaps antiquated. It doesn't really allow for a really flowing game, a very offensive minded player like Vlahovic, obviously. And whether that's the case or not, it seems like Juventus have made it very clear that they're committed to Allegri for the foreseeable future. He obviously has a few more years left on his contract. And if they're committed to Allegri and they think he still is the right coach and that they're sticking with him, again, for the foreseeable future, you do want to make him happy. You do want to bring in players that he thinks fits better with his system, that he thinks will help Juventus win. Because at the end of the day, whether you like Allegri, whether you like Vlahovic, whether you like Lukaku, whether you like anybody, you know, associated with this Juventus team, the goal is they want to win. They want to get back to in the Champions League. They want to get back to competing for the Scudetto. Ideally, obviously, they seem a ways away, but they want to get back to potentially competing for a Champions League, getting back to a Champions League final. And if Allegri's kind of telling you and banging his hand on the table saying, hey, Vlahovic doesn't fit what I want to do. Like, we could have this amazingly talented young 23-year-old striker on our team, but he doesn't fit our system. He's not going to be super productive here because he just, his style clashes with what I want. And if he's saying, you know, there's this 30-year-old striker in Lukaku, yes, he's older, but he would fit my system. He would be a guy that could give us 20 plus goals, could really, you know, do the hold up play, do play with his back to the, you know, to the goal and do the things that I want him to do, what I want my striker to do. Sometimes, you know, as management, you have to kind of trust your coach, I guess, right? Because you're showing your trust in having him as your coach. So you have to kind of trust him. And again, I know from a Juventus fan standpoint, one, bringing in Lukaku hurts a lot of Juventus fans because he played for Inter, what he meant for Inter. And, you know, I know there are quite a few Juventus fans that are kind of fed up with Vlahovic, but I don't know that they want to see Vlahovic sold to bring in Lukaku, like I said. But again, from an X's and O's standpoint, if you feel that Lukaku is better for your team, I could kind of understand why Juventus would want to go about doing this. And it also seems like Vlahovic is more than open to leaving, that he's kind of pushing to be sold to PSG and wouldn't mind kind of a fresh start. He's still obviously very young. And, you know, he too may feel like, look, it's not working for me here either. I don't fit into this system. I don't fit into what Allegri wants. It brings up that argument always. Do you fire the coach? Do you sell the player? I mean, in my opinion, look, we know it's always easier to fire a coach, right? It's easier to get rid of that one coach than potentially 20 players on your team, of course. But again, another driving force is Giuntoli was brought in as the new sporting director, and his biggest task right now, before he could fully build a competitive and winning team in Italy, you know, that could compete for the Scudetto, he has a lot of house cleaning to do. He has a lot of clearing that debt. He has a lot of reducing salary and getting rid of some players that just don't fit into the system anymore. And Vlahovic, again, is one of those sacrificial options because he could bring in a big transfer fee that could help balance your books. So, again, I understand it's kind of a frustrating situation from Juventus' standpoint, but that's kind of my thoughts on that situation. Now, from an Inter standpoint, they're done with Lukaku, right? They've ended their pursuit for Lukaku, so we know they need another striker. They've been linked to several. The two top strikers that you constantly being hearing them being linked to right now is Alvaro Morata of Atletico Madrid. And Morata's drawing a lot of interest. He's drawing not just interest from Inter, but Milan are interested in him, Roma. And just the other day, I read in Gazzetta dello Sport that even Juventus have kind of had some interest in Alvaro Morata, or kind of renewing their interest. Obviously, he's played there a few times. He has some history with Juventus. But the other, you know, big striker that is being linked to Inter is Arsenal's United States international Balogun. Young striker, would cost around 40 million euro, perhaps a little more, kind of right around that price that Lukaku would cost. Now, you would be getting a younger striker in Balogun over Alvaro Morata, but there's also that unknown. Now, he had a really good season playing in Ligue 1 in France, but again, he's still a little bit more of an unknown commodity. He doesn't have necessarily the long track record, whereas Alvaro Morata is perhaps a little bit more of a safer bet. Now, I'm sure in terms of an excitement standpoint, like what's going to excite the Inter fan base more, signing Alvaro Morata or Balogun, it's going to be Balogun, right? Because he is that younger player. He is that player that represents perhaps more upside, that little bit of unknown and intrigue, and like, is he, you know, could he be this next big striker with so many big clubs around Europe being linked to him? You would say to yourself, there has to be something here, right? So many top clubs would not be interested in such a player if he doesn't possess some sort of promise. So again, he is the bigger risk, but at the same time, what makes something a bigger risk is they have more upside. Like, we know what Alvaro Morata's ceiling is. We know the type of player he is. He's never really going to be a guy that scores 20, 25, 30 goals for you, whereas Balogun could potentially, you know, hit that 20, 25 goal mark for a team. Again, he scored 21 goals last season in Ligue 1. So again, different league, definitely different than Serie A. We know Serie A, time after time, how many strikers, how many players say it's the toughest and hardest league to score in. So, you know, those 21 goals in Ligue 1, what do they translate in Serie A? We don't know. Maybe it translates into 21 goals in Serie A because he's just that type of player. Like, it's not like there aren't strikers that can't score in Serie A, but it's a very difficult league to score in. Again, whereas Alvaro Morata, he's not going to touch that 21 goal mark. But what he will do is give you, you know, a goal contribution of 15 to 20 goals. And what I mean by that in terms of goal contribution is between the goals he scores and the assist he gets, he's kind of consistently in that 15 to 20 goal contribution mark. And look, they don't need Morata if they sign him at Inter to be a 20 goal plus goal scorer. Of course, that would be great. And the more goals he provides, obviously, is just more beneficial to the club. But they have their main hitman in Lautaro Martinez, right? Like, he is their big goal scorer. He's the guy who's going to get them their 20 plus goals and kind of really, you know, anchor that attack. They have their guy. They need a guy to kind of complement Lautaro Martinez, a guy that's going to help him, the guy that's going to help set him up, get him the ball, you know, distract defenders, do whatever he's got to do. And Morata is that type of player. Morata would be a good signing for Inter. Again, it's not one that's going to overly excite the Inter fan base. I get that. But he's definitely would be a good option, and one that I think would do well at Inter. And again, let's not forget, Inter in a win-now mode, right? They're looking to win the Scudetto, get back to dethroning Napoli and winning the Scudetto. They made it to the Champions League final. They have to feel in their mind that that was not a fluke. They have to feel that they could get to that Champions League final again and maybe win it. And look, they did it with Dzeko as the second striker next to Lautaro Martinez. And Dzeko had a good season. He certainly scored some timely goals. He's a very experienced goalie. We know goal scorer and a striker, we know that. And maybe they look at Morata and say, look, we did it with Dzeko playing along with Lautaro Martinez. We believe in Morata, right? Like, that he could be that safe option to help us kind of just keep things going, like not disrupt the apple cart and kind of, you know, feel like the status quo is being maintained. Whereas again, Balogun has that much more upside. But maybe they say, look, if Balogun doesn't pan out, we're sinking 40 plus million euro into him. You know, we're in that win now mode. And if he's not ready to make that leap to Inter, to a club like Inter, to Serie A, perhaps it kind of makes Inter take a step back. You know, those are just a few thoughts, you know, in terms of what Inter are looking to do. But I would not be unhappy if I'm an Inter fan with signing either of these strikers. But again, I feel that Morata is the safer choice, would be a very formidable option for Inter. But I would also love to see a striker like Balogun come play in Serie A, come play for a team like Inter, a team that's ready to compete, and see what he could do, like being thrown right into the deep end and like say, hey, dude, we're looking to win the Scudetto. We're looking to get back to a Champions League final. We know you're only 21 years old, but This is your moment. Like, announce yourself to the world in a big way. So it'll be interesting to see. Certainly, you know, with what ends up being from Lukaku's future, does he end up actually joining Juventus? We know there's the heavy links of Saudi Arabia, and they're willing to offer him, you know, a king's ransom in terms of salary to come play for them. So we'll see what Lukaku ends up doing. Does he join Juve? Does he go make a move to the Middle East into Saudi Arabia? Does some unknown team right now kind of step up, which doesn't seem likely, but does someone step up and enter this Lukaku race? And, you know, where does Inter go? Do they sign Morata? Do they sign Balogun? Is there somebody else that just kind of emerges and enters Inter's radar to kind of add to their striker position? So it's certainly one of the big storylines to continue to follow this summer. And my guess is all parties, Lukaku, Chelsea, Juve, Inter, Alvaro Morata, Balogun, they all kind of would like to kind of have everything resolved sooner than later. But again, we're kind of in the middle of July. There's plenty of time to go in the transfer market. These teams, these players would love to have their futures resolved sooner rather than later. All right, now on to buy or sell it to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media in the world of football. Number one, buy or sell it. Matteo Retegi would be a good signing for Genoa. I will buy this one. So the Argentine-Italian international Matteo Retegi, he has been linked with the move to Serie A ever since Roberto Mancini gave him that first call-up to the Italian national team. Now, initially, when he was first being linked to Italian teams, he was being linked to Inter, was one of the more notable clubs that he's been heavily linked to in the past. But right now, the most concrete Italian team that seems to be in pursuit of him is Genoa. And I would buy that as a good landing spot for him. Now, is that the best Serie A team that he could arrive at? No, I would argue that a team like Fiorentina, Sassuolo, Atalanta, those three teams in particular that play a very offensive style of football, that have a track record, particularly Sassuolo and Atalanta, and even, you know, Udinese wouldn't be a bad landing spot certainly either. Those clubs that have a really good track record of developing young talent and really helping them to grow and groom them into, you know, reaching the type of player that is ready to join a bigger club and really become the player that some people project them to be. So I would argue that those would be better landing spots for them, but that does not mean Genoa is a bad landing spot for Retegi. And there's a few reasons why. There he would be the primary striker, right? The starter. He would certainly see a significant amount of playing time for Genoa. So often you see some of, you know, the better young promising players join these bigger clubs all over Europe. Maybe go to a Juve, go to an Inter, go to a Manchester United, a Chelsea, whatever the case may be, a Real Madrid. And they're kind of just buried on the bench and they're only making appearances in cup games and, you know, sometimes in the league when, you know, their team just had an international commitment, you know, a European commitment, I mean, whether it's Champions League, Europa League, whatever the case may be, and you got to rest your primary striker. So going to Genoa, Retegi would see a heavy amount of playing time. Also, he's going to a team where obviously there's pressure on every team. Every fan base wants to see their team be successful. And, you know, Genoa just got promoted back to Serie A after having been relegated. So obviously their team, there's some pressure from the fans on this team to not have them go back down to Serie B. And Retegi would be a signing Genoa would make to help them stay up in Serie A, to be someone that they hope could provide them some goals. Last I checked, I think he's sitting on 11 goals at the time of me recording this in the Argentine league, and that has him in the top five. I think he's just two off the league lead for, you know, the league leader goal scorer in Argentina. So again, like, going to a team in Genoa where there's not going to be an immense amount of pressure in terms of like media scrutiny and whatnot. Whereas if he joined Inter, where he was being linked to a couple months ago when he was first kind of brought on the Italian stage, when he got that call up from Mancini, you know, going to a club like Inter, if he saw playing time, there's going to be pressure on him to perform. But also if he joined Inter, that could be one of those examples of him not getting the amount of playing time he really needs to help further and grow his career. So I 100% buy Genoa as a great landing spot for Retegi if they could get that done. The price being rumored is 15 million euro. I believe that's what the buyout clause price is with Boca Juniors, the club that owns Retegi. He plays right now on loan for Tigre. And again, at 15 million euro, that's not a bad price for a striker that you believe has upside, that you believe has promise. Because Genoa in a year or two could go and turn around and flip him for a profit, 25, 30 million euro, whatever the case may be, if he performs well season or in two seasons, however long he stays at Genoa, if they're able to close it. So I would definitely love to see Retegi come play in Serie A. It would be good for him. He's now kind of in that mix with the Italian national team, so it's easier for Roberto Mancini to keep tabs on him, keep an eye on him. You know, I'm not sure how often Mancini's able to really watch him play in Argentina, how often, you know, members of that Italian national team coaching staff and scouting department could really keep an eye on him. Obviously, a move to Italy benefits him from that standpoint. It's a, you know, a step up in competition now coming to European football and a chance to kind of put yourself on a bigger stage, more eyeballs. So I 100% buy Genoa as a good landing spot for Matteo Retegi if they're able to close that deal. deal with Boca Juniors. All right, number two, buy or sell it. Juan Cuadrado is a good signing for Inter. I will buy this one as well. So Cuadrado is set to sign a one-year contract with Inter. At least that's what's being reported. And at the time of this podcast coming out, by the time you listen to it, I would expect that news to become official because there's already videos of him landing in Milan and getting ready to take his medical. So it's only a matter of time till it becomes official. But at the time of this recording, I don't know the exact details, the official details, but what's being reported is a one-year contract. And it seems like he's going to get a salary of 2.5 million euro. So there is no risk really involved for Inter, right? They're not paying a transfer fee. They're getting a very experienced player in Italy, in Serie A, in Cuadrado for 1 year, 2.5 million euro. That's a very, for the most part, insignificant salary amount for a club like Inter. You know, at smaller clubs, that would be somewhat of a significant investment for sure from a salary standpoint. But for Inter, it's a very insignificant salary amount. And Cuadrado, as I said, he has plenty of experience in Serie A, so he knows the league well. And I think he's just obviously a perfect fit in that wing-back position for what Inzaghi wants from that role. He fits the system well. He knows that role well. It's something he's done at Juve. It's something he's done for a good chunk of his career. I know he's kind of moved around from starting his career as a more of an offensive winger. He's been used more as a defensive fullback at times and kind of has now kind of grown more into this wingback position over the past few seasons. And that's exactly what Inter would be bringing him in for. They're set to sell Robin Gosens perhaps to Germany. Some German clubs sniffing around for Gosens. Danilo D'Ambrosio, he's left Inter. His contract expired. They decided not to bring him back. So you're really rolling with guys like Federico Di Marco, who's superb talent. You still have Denzel Dumfries for now. Who knows? There's always big clubs, you know, Chelsea, some Premier League team sniffing around for him. But as of now, you haven't. But you certainly need depth at that wing-back position with the departure of D'Ambrosio, the potential future sale of Robin Gosens. So Cuadrado would provide well-equipped depth at that wing-back position. I wouldn't be surprised if he eventually turns into a starter at this team or sees a lot of significant playing time with this team. So I definitely love the signing of Cuadrado for Inter. I know kind of touched upon this earlier in the episode with the potential move of Lukaku to Juventus. Juve fans not being happy about, you know, some Juve fans not being happy about potentially the club signing Lukaku. There was obviously some Inter fans that have voiced their displeasure with the club selling Cuadrado, a player who's spent the past 7 seasons or so with Juve, who's had his moments against Inter, some clashes in the Derby d'Italia and with some of the Inter players. But again, this type of move just shows you, for the overwhelming majority of it, it is just about business. It just comes down to if a team feels a player could help them win, help them perform better on the field, help them win trophies, help them get to the top, they're going to make that move, right? And Inter, the management side of Inter, they're not thinking about the fact that Cuadrado has this history at Juve, that Cuadrado has had clashes with the club, perhaps with some of the Inter fans. They really, I don't want to say don't care about it, but it doesn't factor in significant enough to persuade them not to sign a player like Cuadrado, especially, again, 1 year, $2.5 million. It's such a steal for them, for a player with his experience, his caliber, and how he's just going to fit perfectly into the system. You could just literally pluck him in that wingback position in Inzaghi's system, and he'll know what to do. He'll be a superb standout at that position. So it's a really good move for Inter signing Cuadrado. Again, whether or not all the Inter fans are necessarily on board, at least at the time of the signing, that remains to be seen. But again, if he performs well, as always, the Inter fans will forgive him. They'll buy in. They'll be cheering for him if he could help them win games. All right, number three, buy or sell it. Cristiano Ronaldo is right when he says that him joining Juventus back in 2018 helped to revive Serie A. I will sell this one. I'll start off by saying I am a Cristiano Ronaldo fan. It's not like I am someone who's anti-Cristiano Ronaldo. I'm a big fan of Ronaldo, big fan of Messi. I just respect both players immensely. They're both arguably the two best talents that we've seen in our generation, two of the best talents we've ever seen play. But I sell the fact when Cristiano Ronaldo says that him joining Juventus revived Serie A. Did it help jolt Serie A? Sure. Did he add more eyeballs to the league? Of course. Did he add more marketability to the league? Of course he did, because Cristiano Ronaldo is a draw. He's a huge name. He's a superstar, one of the biggest names, not just in the world of football, but just one of the biggest names in the world, period. People that aren't even football fans, that aren't even sports fans necessarily, they know who Cristiano Ronaldo is. So he kind of transcends the sports world. So no doubt about it that he brought more eyeballs to Serie A. But to say that he revived Serie A, that's what I sell. I think he's wrong by saying that, because by reviving it, you're kind of implying that Serie A was dead, was, you know, on the decline of sorts, which was not the case. Serie A has been ascending, has been growing and getting back to where it once was prior to Cristiano Ronaldo joining Juventus and joining Serie A. Again, did his arrival help to give it a little extra jolt? Maybe expedite things a bit, sure, you could certainly say that if you're Cristiano Ronaldo. But to say that, you know, you revive Serie A, I think he's wrong by saying that. He said it was a dead league and he rejuvenated. Again, it was not a dead league. You know, look, people who follow me know that I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of the Premier League. Again, I respect the league. There's a lot of superb talent in the Premier League playing. They have a lot of money. You know, some of the richest clubs in the world all reside in the Premier League. They typically spend the most money in transfer markets. They have a lot of power and pull to attract players to come to them. You know, it's not like I hate the Premier League or anything like that. But the Premier League, okay, if you want to say that that's quote unquote the top league in the world, I would argue that Serie A is right there as number two. And they were number two even before Cristiano Ronaldo arrived. I think they're a more competitive league. They're a deeper league than, you know, Ligue 1 in France, than La Liga in Spain, than the Bundesliga in Germany. Again, I'm not criticizing those leagues. I watch all these leagues. I enjoy watching them. I've really enjoyed watching more Ligue 1 football of late. As I've said on Twitter a few times, I've even gotten into watching more of the Brazilian soccer league, football league. So I've really enjoyed watching that. So I appreciate the sport all around the world. But I would argue that Serie A is the number two league behind the Premier League if you want to put the Premier League number one, which I think would be the general consensus around the world. Now, you asked me my opinion, my biased opinion. Of course, I'm going to say Serie A is the number one league. And I could give you a long list of reasons why I think it is better than the Premier League. But I'll recognize that generally the consensus is that the Premier League is number one. But I would say Serie A is number two easily in the world. So again, for Ronaldo to call it a dead league and that he rejuvenated, I highly sell it. Do I think he's having an impact in Saudi Arabia? Of course. His move to Saudi Arabia is having a bigger impact than I thought it would have had at any point. There's certainly a tremendous amount of players that have headed towards Saudi Arabia this summer and continue to head there. Some big name players, some, you know, middle of the pack players that are, you would assume, clearly going there because they're getting paid way more than they would ever get paid playing in Europe. But again, they've attracted stars like N'Golo Kante, like Karim Benzema, Milinkovic-Savic has gone there. There's several other big names that have moved over there. Think of Brozovic with Inter. And I talked about the Saudi League a little bit more on the last episode of the Couch Corner podcast. So if you want to hear more of my thoughts on that, listen to the previous episode. But he certainly is attracting more players there. Now, if he wants to say, you know, his move to the Saudi League has kind of put that league on the map and has helped open this portal for where more players are making the transfer there, making the move there. Other clubs are spending bigger money. That's all fair game because there's no doubt about it that he has opened more eyes to the Saudi league. But again, I 100% sell the fact that he says that when he arrived at Juventus, Serie A was a dead league and that he rejuvenated it. It was far from a dead league. He did far from rejuvenated it. Did again, he helped grow the league a bit, bring more eyeballs, bring more marketability, more commercial aspects to the league. Sure, he certainly did. Cristiano Ronaldo is going to do that no matter where he goes, no matter what league or team he's playing for. But again, to say that it was a dead league, that he rejuvenated it, I 100% sell that from Cristiano Ronaldo. So that will do it for the 82nd episode of the Couch Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow. Feel free to spread the word of the Couch Corner podcast to any friends or family that you think would enjoy a Couch-centric podcast. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.